Thank you, Doctor. I want to correct a possible misunderstanding on your bulletin, and I appreciate getting bulletins out and the problems of getting everything correct on them, but the bulletin implied that Pastor Emery spoke on pork every day on KASA, and I want to assure you that I do not. I'm a preacher, and I talk about a lot of different things, but it is true that last fall I spent 21 days, I went back and looked at my record, I spent 21 days last July on the subject of health and the Bible, which included several days on the subject of eating pork, on the possibility of danger to the human body from eating swine's flesh. And from that, I'm sure that some of you people here may have known that Pastor Emery is opposed to that and shows it not only on medical grounds, but also on biblical grounds. Now, I'm going to assume for my purpose this afternoon that most of you people are rather knowledgeable about health, and from that, I doubt if I have very many in my audience who are people who do eat what the Bible calls swine's flesh. It has some more appetizing names in the meat market, such as ham and bacon and pork chops, such as little Abner calls it, and so on, but the Bible does not use those terms. The Bible calls it swine's flesh. And I want to just go rather rapidly through some of the things that some of you may know, but perhaps have not thought too much about as you see them in the newspaper, the news media, and so on, over a period of time, small articles showing some of the things that live in the animal we call the pig. And in case I don't mention it later, I should mention it right now, that the word pig comes from a Hebrew word. And the Hebrew word is pigol, and it means abomination. And for centuries ago, the pig was not called pig in the name of an animal, but it actually was a word which meant an abomination. History shows us that 2,000 years ago, very few people in the eastern end of the Mediterranean raised this animal, that many of them refused to have anything to do with it, which we'll show you in a few moments is, of course, scriptural. I have a publication that we put out, just two pages, titled Swine's Flesh as Food. And you can obtain copies of this in one of the booths or one of the tables in the back. I have some more if you'd like to have them later. And this has gone out from our church and over my radio broadcast by the hundreds and the thousands. And I have had many people write to me and tell me either from the radio or from the tape ministry or from reading this bulletin, they now no longer eat that delicious thing called ham that they used to enjoy so much. So this afternoon, just in case there are some people here who do eat ham, I'm going to try to end up this next 30 minutes with every person leaving this auditorium swearing they'll not touch pig anymore. Now, you may think that's impossible. I don't think it's so hard with this kind of an audience. But what we did in this small publication, we took four pages out of a 42-page government bulletin put out by the United States Department of Agriculture, and you should read it in spite of the fact that it's addressed to the raiser of pigs. The government put this publication out primarily to help farmers keep their pigs from getting ill and dying. But as you read it, you realize that those who eat the pigs also get ill and die. We reproduce just a small part here. I want to read a few paragraphs from a United States Department of Agriculture bulletin titled The Farmer's Bulletin Number 1787, which is, by the way, now out of print and has been superseded with a new one. But anyway, the new one pretty well tells the same story. But it talks about what is called a bladder worm in hogs. The bladder worm exists only as a small worm in the pig, but when it's passed on into the human body, it becomes a tapeworm, and a much larger one and much more dangerous. It says in this government document, domestic hogs in the United States are not known to harbor adult tapeworms in the intestines. They do harbor three species of bladder worms, however, one of which develops into an intestinal tapeworm in man, and the other two into tapeworms in the intestines of dogs. The tapeworm, Tania solium, infests hogs in the immature or bladder worm stage. the full-grown or adult tapeworm, known as the pork tapeworm worm, infests human beings. The bladder worm, and then it goes on and gives a description of what it does in the hogs, and then they tell you what happens in man. It goes into the loin muscles, the muscular portion of the diaphragm, into the heart, the muscles used in chewing, the muscles between the ribs, and certain have been found in the brain, eyes, liver, and also in the spleen. It says in here that when the human being swallows a live pork bladder worm, which is very small, then in the human body it develops into worms which have been found to attain a length of from 3 to 6 feet. Down here where it talks about damage, it says, no definite systems are associated with the bladder worm infestation of swine. Infestation is diagnosed as a rule after death. In other words, a farmer cannot tell if his pig has it until in the butchering process. Upon the discovery of the worms in the muscles and other places, pork infested with bladder worms is commonly known as measly pork. Because of the danger to human health from eating raw or imperfectly cooked measly pork, special precautions are taken to detect these parasites in swine carcasses under federal, state, and local meat inspection. But notice, after they take the special precautions to detect it, it says lightly infested carcasses are passed for human food only after sterilization following the removal of visible cysts. Now, you know, if you know anything about raising animals and butchering them, that the butcher simply cannot see everything that's in that carcass, and yet all they remove is what is visible to the eye. If the infestation is excessive, the carcass is condemned and not used for food. Here's the treatment, and this is true in the pig as well as man. There is no known practical treatment for the removal of bladder worms from swine. If you get them, you've got them. There are several pictures that we have reproduced in here, and some people have wrote and told me that looking at the pictures is enough to keep them from eating swine's flesh. Trichinosis is probably the best known one, or at least the one spoken of more than any others. It tells it what this is. It's a very tiny worm which can be seen only under a microscope. Damage, the disease produced by the trichinae known as trichinosis, is practically never diagnosed in swine during life because other and better known diseases of these animals show similar symptoms. Consequently, trichinosis in swine is probably confused with other diseases. Treatment, no effective treatment for trichinosis in swine or any other animal, and they didn't say, but I'll add, including man, is known. If you read medical reports on trichinosis, you'll find that it is a small worm which settles near the bone, especially in the joints where the meat is a little more moist, and it causes pains in your joints. Millions of Americans are out treating themselves for arthritis and everything else, and all in the world they have is trichinosis. Some doctors have estimated that as many as 20 million Americans are infected with this parasite. It's not a disease, it's a small worm parasite. In case you think that this cannot be possible, that all hogs in America are clean, we reproduced on here some newspaper articles from the Arizona newspapers. And this is not something that is hidden from you. This is common knowledge, and it's easy to find out. But the State House of Representatives here about 2 years ago had an investigation into the feeding of hogs in the state of Arizona. One of the representatives said he went to these places, and they went through the hog feeding farms and so on. He said that persons who feed hogs are also, in a secondary sense, responsible for control of about 20 diseases which humans can contract from pork and pork products. One establishment I visited, I saw a hog being cannibalized by a live one. Not knowing from what that hog had died makes this situation dangerous. He goes on and said that the filth and unsanitary conditions and the carelessness of them all and the stench that I found in making this study certainly nullified my desire to eat pork until steps are taken to make a healthier situation. I would suggest from his testimony that if you still insist on eating swine's flesh after leaving here this afternoon, that you go to some hog farm and look it over as this man did. It'll probably remove the desire for that ham at Christmas time. He listed, the chairman of the Livestock Sanitary Board of Arizona listed in a letter to the Arizona Republic a partial list, he said there is a list of over 20 swine diseases associated with raw garbage feeding, including several diseases quite transmissible to human population. They include salmonellosis, undulant fever, listeriosis, erysipelas, anthrax, trichinosis, tapeworm, and tuberculosis. And I believe that if you will investigate some of these things and some of the other things that I have, that we might find that it is probable that a tremendous percentage of the people in America who are in hospitals are there because they have eaten swine's flesh. They are being treated for all sorts of other diseases, but the truth of the matter is they have a parasite in their body which makes them weak, which debilitates the human body, and then they are susceptible to all of these other things. He signed this letter after telling the people also that a few years ago in England, they had to destroy over 300,000 cattle and swine because of infection, and, quote, the whole problem is believed to have gained a foothold in swine fed improperly processed garbage. We have just completed a so-called war in South Vietnam, in which 10 years ago our government told us we were going to go over there and save those people from world communism and help them set up a viable society as a republic or a democracy. But according to another newspaper report, liver fluke is so prevalent in Vietnam, Thailand, and Laos that it is a socioeconomic disease. In a vast number of cases, this man reported, it shortens life by many years. It also contributes heavily to poverty, he said, because family men become so ill that they are unable to work. And if you'll read the rest of the article, you'll find that most of these people get it from eating pork. If any of you have been in the islands of the Pacific or in Asia, as I have, you'll know that almost every small village and barrio over in that part of the world has a very skinny type of pork, ham, or whatever you want to call it, running around, and it eats everything that's dropped upon the ground, and then the people eat that animal. That is why, of course, millions of people around the world are infected with incurable diseases, and they get them from the infection from the eating of swine's flesh. The Let's Live magazine of May 1972 had an article which I believe was an understatement. 80,000 infected hogs processed and sold annually. And they tell in here that much of this meat is not heated to the extent of killing these things, and then it is sold. And I believe they made an understatement on that, because much of your sausage and many of these other things are simply not heated. The manufacturer can keep his expenses down by lowering the heat and distributing hundreds of thousands of pounds of pork that still has live worms in it. Some of you may have heard of a man by the name of Wheelwright, a Dr. Wheelwright, I believe he's from Ogden, Utah. Someone sent him a tape-recorded copies of my series that I did on the radio broadcast. He called me up primarily to congratulate me because he said I was the only minister he knew who warned the people about eating this ungodly animal. And in the process of the phone conversation, he said that they had isolated and identified over 100 different kinds of parasitical worms that are carried by the swine, which can be taken into the human body and contaminate the human body, most of which medical science has found no way to dispose of as of yet. He apparently is working on that to some extent, and they've had some success, but most of these are simply not removable from the human body. Billings, Montana, United Press International, a very small article, says hogs scarred by tuberculosis can be used for lunch meat, but the public should not know about it, a government doctor said this week. Dr. Carl Nash, chief of the U.S. Agriculture Department's meat inspection program in Billings, added that only animals with localized inactive tuberculosis scar tissue can be used by packing companies. Quote, the packer must put them through a process that raises the temperature of the animal's flesh to 170 degrees. The meat can then be sold for meatloaf, canned meat, or other products, Nash said. He added, don't write anything about this. The public doesn't understand. People will be flooding us with questions. Many of you people know from other sources that this is the common attitude of the so-called government bureaucracy in the United States. Don't tell the people the truth. They might get upset and find out what's going on. I have several other newspaper articles, one of which I think is rather startling in considering some of the epidemics that we've had in this nation and also other parts of the world. And this is apparently a recent discovery by some of the doctors in the National Institute of Health. And he says that there are infections in barnyard animals, which because of the use of various medicines to keep those animals alive, develop into different kinds of viruses, are often remain in some sort of a state until they're triggered by some other source of infection. Rather complicated, it's rather long, I won't read all of it, but he said, these periodic invaders from the barnyard were not really animal viruses, but viruses of man, which have become adapted to live in domestic animals such as swine. In other words, they have little effect on the animals such as swine or the cattle. And their damage is done later when they're taken on into man. He says when these two conditions, after a long description of them, are met, the new virus strain emerges and sweeps through the world, according to the hypothesis, causing huge amounts of illness and sometimes millions of deaths. He went on to say that he believed that the flu epidemic during World War I was caused by a virus held in pigs until this mechanism was triggered, and then human beings got it, and they died by the thousands. Where was it? It was in swine's flesh, and they're just beginning to find that out. He said there is abundant evidence that the flu virus that killed an estimated 21 million persons around the world in 1918 is very closely similar to domestic swine influenza discovered in the early 30s. So these people are beginning to find out, perhaps, there is much more danger to the eating of swine's flesh than they had thought. Another one is a long article from the UPI that they have discovered another affliction that's in the swine, and people get it by handling it. The workers in this place where they make sausage, and I believe he said, all three of the federal inspectors at the plant had also contacted the illness. These men were not necessarily eating it, but they had handled the carcasses. All right, you may ask, Pastor Emery, why is it that so many Americans then insist on eating swine's flesh? And I'll give you two reasons. Number one is a negative one, and that is that the doctors, by and large, simply do not warn the American people against eating swine's flesh. And number two is a positive one, and this, as a minister, I guess I can say this. Most ministers that I know of tell their congregations they can eat swine's flesh. In fact, I have members of my church who some years ago had joined or belonged to some sort of a Christian businessmen's association, a number of them around the state and this city, and they have breakfasts. And the members of my church find they can't go to those breakfasts because they always have ham and eggs or bacon and eggs. Almost every minister in the country tells his congregation, since Christ died on the cross, you can eat swine's flesh. And the result is, of course, that hundreds of thousands of Christians go on eating it in the face of this information that I have just given you and, of course, a host of other things. I want to give you some biblical reasons for this. And some of these things I won't have time to go into because these are notes which I had intended to use for another series of radio broadcasts, and they'll take about 2.5 or 3 hours, so I'm just going to concentrate this in a matter of a few minutes. But anyway, good godly Ezekiel was prophesying of the end of the age and the false prophets and the deceivers who would rise, and he says in the 22nd chapter of Ezekiel, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto her, Thou art the land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. If you know your Bible, the word day of, or the phrase day of indignation is a reference to the end of the age. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof. Like a roaring lion ravening the prey, they have devoured souls, they have taken the treasure, and precious things, they have made her many widows in the midst thereof. In other words, they have been responsible for the death of many men. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and the profane, neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean. And they have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. God told Ezekiel that in the end of the age, the ministers would simply not tell the people the difference between the clean and the unclean. I typed off from a Bible study course put out by what is called Audio Bible Studies. Dr. Barnhouse, he's a very well-known preacher. And I want you to listen as I read a very small part of his statement about your liberty to eat swine's flesh. And please don't laugh. I did when I first heard him. I thought, how in the world can anybody be so ignorant? He's talking about the Epistle to the Galatians. This little letter of Paul to the Galatians is one of the most important documents in human history. It has been called the Magna Carta of spiritual liberty. The practical effects of this epistle reach into millions of homes. In fact, the Epistle to the Galatians has a greater effect on how we live in the United States today than does the Declaration of Independence or the Constitution of our Republic. A little further on, he said, after talking about these tremendous freedom documents, but the letter to the Galatians comes right down to our century and into our homes. If you ate ham or bacon today, it is because of the truths set forth in the Epistle to the Galatians. Did you know that your liberty to eat ham or bacon was as important as the Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights? This is what ministers tell millions of people across the nation, that they are now free from God's law and they can eat these abominable things, and the people go ahead and eat them, and they die by the hundreds of thousands 10, 15, and 20 years before they should. Well, does the Bible say that you can eat pork? I want to give you a few things in here. If you're taking notes, I'm just going to run down these rather rapidly before I get to what the Bible says specifically on pork. But anyway, in Genesis 1, verses 27 through 30, in the creation story, man was given to eat herbs and vegetables and the seeds and fruits with seeds. No mention of the eating of meat at all. In the creation of Adam and the story of Adam in Genesis 2, we find that Adam and Eve disobeyed and were cast out of the garden. In Genesis 3, and I think this is rather significant because I suppose that some of the people here do not eat any kind of meat at all. In Genesis 3, as God cast Adam and Eve out of the garden, here's what he said to them. Unto Adam he said, because thou hearkenest unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree to which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake, in sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. You're going to eat of the ground. Thorns also and thistles shall bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it thou wast taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Three times in three verses, God told Adam he was going to eat out of the things growing out of the ground. And, of course, the Seventh-day Adventists recognize some of this as a scriptural admonition not to eat meat at all. But anyway, as you go into the story of the Scripture, you find that these people who lived under this age or in that age, from Adam on down to Noah, lived an average of about 750 years. I don't know whether you believe the story in the Bible or not, but this is the story given in there. Noah was 500 years old at the time of the flood, and we do know that there were clean and unclean animals first mentioned at the time of the flood because Noah was told to take into the ark seven of the clean and two of the unclean. And then we find that after the flood, there was a change. And Noah offered sacrifices of the clean animals, and Genesis makes that story rather plain. But in offering this sacrifice, there apparently was a change in the law. In Genesis 9 we read, and God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth, and upon all the fishes of the sea, and upon your hand shall they be delivered. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things. In other words, God now authorized, after the flood, the eating of meat. I don't know his purpose, and I have no intention of questioning it, but I would remind you, if you want to look up the longevity of the men who followed the flood, that Noah lived 950 years, his son lived 600, Arphaxad lived 933, and from then on they dropped down into the 400s, the 200s. By the time we came to Isaac, 180, Jacob, 147, by the time we got to Moses, 120, and by the time they got into the Canaan land, they were down to 85, and those that followed apparently lived between 70 and 80 years, which is about what we live today. I don't know God's purpose in changing the food laws at that time, but there was an obvious change. Then God gave some laws to the house of Israel. And he said to them in chapter 14 of Deuteronomy, "Ye are the children of the Lord your God. Ye shall not cut yourselves, nor make any baldness between your eyes for the dead. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself above all the nations that are upon the earth." Now, many people make the error of thinking that that is applicable to the Jews, but you'll find that Peter and Paul both repeated these identical words in their letters to the Christians. "Ye are an holy people, a peculiar people, chosen." Christ said to the disciples, "Ye have not chosen me, I have chosen you." In other words, the Christian people were chosen specifically of God. Then follows, in Deuteronomy 14, the same thing we read in Leviticus 11, "Thou shalt not eat any abominable thing." And the word there is piggle, any piggle thing. "These are the beasts which ye shall eat, the ox, the sheep, and the goat, the hart, and the roebuck, and the fallow deer, and the wild goat, and the pygarg, and the wild ox, and the chamois, and every beast that parteth the hoof, and cleaveth the cleft into two claws, and parteth and cheweth the cud among the beasts, that ye shall eat. Nevertheless, these ye shall not eat, of them that chew the cud, or of them that divideth the cloven hoof, as the camel, and the hare, and the coney," and that's the rabbit, in case some of you people think you can eat rabbit, "for they chew the cud, but divide not the hoof, therefore they are unclean unto you." And notice the additional admonition for swine. "And the swine, because it divideth the hoof, yet cheweth not the cud, it is unclean unto you. Ye shall not eat of their flesh, nor touch their dead carcasses." Medical doctors are just beginning to discover that you don't have to eat the pork in order to get the disease. Men working where they butcher them and pack them and make them into these delicious little sausages and all of these wonderful hams get the disease simply from handling the animals. And God says, "Ye shall not touch it. It is unclean unto you." In the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, and you think with me as I read these, because I know in this audience, as in almost any audience in America, they are very concerned about what is happening to the nation. And you may not think that eating of swine's flesh has anything to do with the chaos, confusion, and communism that is coming to the United States of America. But in the 26th chapter of Leviticus and the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, God told the house of Israel that if they disobeyed his laws, statutes, and judgments, certain things would happen to them. And I want to read you some of these things. And after I do, I want you to talk a little more earnestly with the people in this auditorium who have these tables are trying to show you the way to good health. God said in verse 15 of Deuteronomy 28, "It shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall be the basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land." I believe most of these people can tell you that the food coming off the land of America is not as healthy and as health-giving as it was 20 and 30 and 50 and 100 years ago. And God said, if you won't obey my laws, your land's going to be cursed, the fruit of your land, and the increase of thy kine and the flocks of thy sheep. Verse 21, "The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee, until he have consumed thee from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall smite thee with a consumption, and with a fever, and with an inflammation, and with an extreme burning, and with the sword, and with blasting, and with mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish." In verse 27, "The Lord will smite thee with the botch of Egypt." Not too long ago, the doctors, at least in their investigation of some ancient things, have discovered that this thing that was called the botch in the time of the children of Israel in Canaan land is actually cancer. It is the same disease which we know as cancer today. And God said, "The Lord will smite thee with the botch of Egypt, and with the emerods, and with the scab, and with the itch, whereof thou canst not be healed." Verse 35, "The Lord shall smite thee in the knees and in the legs with a sore botch that cannot be healed, from the sole of thy foot unto the top of thy head." Just in the last few years, many people are beginning to recognize that diseases are getting harder and harder to cure. They cure one thing and they find another one. I did some research on the Vietnam War here about a year and a half ago, did a series of radio broadcasts on it, and I was told by a young man who'd been in the medics that there is a type of venereal disease over in Vietnam which is fatal. And the person who gets it dies in a few weeks or a few months. And so many American soldiers were getting it that the government had to do something about it. And what they did was set up compounds in the Philippines, and any man who was diagnosed as having this fatal type of venereal disease was taken to the Philippines, put in a compound, and left there until he died, and his parents were notified that he was missing in action. You may wonder why there are so many thousands of boys that are missing in action in Vietnam. After I did that radio broadcast, I heard from two other people who wrote and told me, yes, ask any medic who is in Vietnam and he'll tell you this is true. The United States government took them to the Philippines, put them in a compound. When they died, they were buried in unmarked graves, and their parents are told, yet today, they are missing in action. God said to the house of Israel, if you won't obey my laws, statutes, and judgments, I'm going to send diseases upon you that cannot be cured. And don't misunderstand me. I'm heartily in favor of most things that you people are doing as far as notifying and informing and educating and helping people toward good health. But let's remember that God is the giver of the law. His law means health and marrow to our bones, according to the book of Proverbs. And in the margin of that specific place, the marrow could have been translated medicine. Just in case you might think that, well, Pastor Emery has picked out some things that happened to the children of Israel so long ago, and these have nothing to do with us today, I want to read a few more verses that are applicable to a different kind of punishment that comes upon people for disobedience. And you think, if you know a nation in the world, that this fits today. God said, among other things, of these people, in verse 33, the fruit of thy land and all thy labor shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up, and thou shalt only be oppressed and crushed all away. I understand that close to 25% of the grain raised in America is now going to go practically every year to our enemy nations. God said to the house of Israel, if you disobey me, I'm going to take the fruit of your land and give it to your enemies. Verse 38, thou shalt carry much seed out in the field and shall gather but little in, for the locust shall consume it. Thou shalt plant vineyards and dress them, but shall neither drink of the wine nor gather the grapes, for the worm shall eat them. In verse 42, all thy trees and the fruit of thy land shall the locust consume. If you read the first chapter of Joel, you find that he identifies the locust and the canker worm as the bureaucrats and the tax gatherers. And God has allowed them to take 20 to 25 to 45% of your earning because he said he was going to do it in Deuteronomy 28. In verse 43, the stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. The people in the United States of America owe more in debt than all the rest of the people on the face of the earth. Do you think God doesn't know anything about it? Of course he does. He does it because you refuse to obey his laws, statutes, and judgments, only one of which is that you're not to even eat swine or touch the dead carcasses of them. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee and shall pursue thee and overtake thee till thou be destroyed, because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded thee. And they, what? These curses are going to come upon you. They shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder until Christ dies on the cross. Doesn't say that, does it? They shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder and upon thy seed forever. God said, I have commanded my statutes to 1,000 generations. And I'm sorry to say that my brothers in the pulpit stand up and tell you people you don't have to obey God's laws because Christ put them away on the cross, and it's a lie. Let's turn over to the New Testament. I want to leave you with this. I'm sorry I don't have more time. Matthew 5, Sermon on the Mount. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, not one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. In John 14, he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Romans 3:31, Paul wrote, do we make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. In 1 Timothy 1:8, Paul wrote to Timothy, but we know that the law is good if we use it lawfully. We try to use the law unlawfully, and our disease and crime, corruption, plunder is coming upon our nation. Only one. And I speak on this subject because I know you people are interested in the health of your bodies. I want to close in Acts 10 because this is used by so many people, ministers, to tell you that there was a vision in the Bible given to Peter by God Almighty, and that now because of that vision, we can eat swine's flesh. In verse 9, on the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up unto the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance, and saw heaven open, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. Obviously, all of the things, including those that were forbidden in the law. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. Peter refused to eat the unclean things on the sheet, and yet ministers say today, Oh, you can eat them. God went on, or the voice went on, and told him to do this again, and said, What God hath cleansed, thou call that not common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven, and the ministers stopped there, and then they turn around and say, Well, see, God has cleansed all of these things. And I'm still waiting for the time when I have a chance to put a baked mouse on the plate of a Baptist preacher and ask him to eat it, because that's in Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy 14, too. And the bat is, too, in case you, if he stomachs the mouse, I'll try a bat on it. Well, anyway, Peter didn't know what this meant. If they'd read the next verse, they'd find that Peter didn't understand it. Now, while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, and then it tells the story of Cornelius coming to him, him going to his house, finding he also believed, and then Peter understood the vision. And here's the meaning. And if I don't leave you with anything else, I want to leave you with this verse so you'll know the next time a minister tells you that because of Peter's vision, you can eat this thing which has all of these diseases and all these worms. Peter said, God hath showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. The vision was to show Peter that the gospel could be preached to any man, and if he believed, he was then cleansed through the word. God has never cleansed the pig for eating on man's table. Now I pray that you search this a little further. I'll repeat again. Copies of the publication which we put out, which has some of this, you can obtain at one of the tables way back in the right-hand corner. May God bless you.
This is Pastor Sheldon Emery. That lecture was given at the annual Arizona Convention of the National Health Federation. They have a two-day meeting here every year, and I spoke at the Saturday afternoon meeting. One of the owners of one of the health food stores in Phoenix, who had a booth and a display there, as did 30 or 40 other individuals, health food stores, sources of supply, and so on, this man had my copies of Swine's Flesh as Food, some wrong interpretations corrected, the one I mentioned from the speaker's platform. He told me later he had between 300 and 400 copies, and during the next 2 or 3 hours, all of those copies were picked up by people at the convention. There were approximately 350 to 400 people at the meeting when I spoke. Since that time, we have heard from some of them who have written and gotten additional copies of the article on swine's flesh. Anyone who hears this on tape is certainly welcome to a copy if they have never read it. We have heard from many, many people who have written to tell us that they read the article and looked at the pictures in our publication, Swine's Flesh as Food, Some Wrong Interpretations Corrected, and they quit eating swine's flesh. So if you've never seen it, or if you'd like a copy just to read it, you just write to the address of our radio broadcast, America's Promise,